And I was going to let Brian say something, but he said no. And I'm okay with that because he never asked me to sing. I don't ask him to speak. We have a thing. Michael, did you get that picture I just sent you? Oh, you didn't. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It was just a picture a few years ago. We did a thing, what Brandon would look like if he was bald. It's a pretty good one. Oh, he's about to get it on there. All right, so while he talks about that, I'm thankful for Brandon. I'm thankful for Brian and just how we put up with each other. That's a good way to put it. We're so different, if y'all didn't know that. Brian's really kind of OCD, and I'm kind of not. Yeah? And so he puts up with me. And so, and Brandon, he's a man's man, but at the same time, he's a little more into his feelings than I am, and that's okay, too. And so you put us all together, and God got us there. And while we're waiting, Brian, you can't have this, but come on up on stage for a second. I'm going to give it to you after next service. I got to come here. Oh, there he is. Doesn't that look good? Do we need to put a church boat? That's in 20 years, that's going to be there. All right, come on. All right, so when we started, we had our very first sound system. That's it. It's a little speaker, and this is all that we had. And so we'd plug a phone into it. This was right after, either right after Jeff had left us before we got Brian or just before. And so this was the little guy. And so we're going to give this to him afterwards. Look at there.
Where do you plug it up
in? Right there. That's not a very good spot to plug in, but that's where you plug it in. So... anyway, so after, and then next service, I'll let you have it, okay? That's going to be yours. Awesome.
That's, by the way, Brandon, that's a good look.
I think it's a good look. Millie, you like it? Huh? You like it? Why is it still up there, he said? You can go back to the other one. So Hebrews 11, 1, and Hebrews 11 is kind of, I guess, if we have a chapter that's our anchor that God's used in the church here at Connect, more than any other chapter, it's Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, but 1 specifically, you're going to recognize it. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, is being sure of what we do not see. That is what the people of long ago were praised for. And then it goes through this list of these Old Testament saints that because they had faith, they did this. Because they had faith, they did this. Because they had faith, they did this. And so here for us, faith, what we have to understand is faith moves us. Church is different than anything else. And there are some business aspects, I guess, to church and some things, organizational things that you can learn. But overall, church is not a business, and it's not an entrepreneurship. Let me get that out. That's a long word for me. Anyway, so it's not that. It's this idea of faith. And so if we look back 10 years ago, what we have to understand is this whole thing started with God. Like, God's the beginning of it all. He's the root of it all. He's what caused it to be, and nobody else. I'm just glad that he allowed me to be a part of what he was doing. Because if it wouldn't have been me, it would have been somebody else. You know, if it wouldn't have been me, it would have been somebody else. And so I'm just glad that that God allowed for that to happen. I'm so glad that he called different people here at different times to have faith, because we didn't always have what we needed, and we still don't always have what we need. There's lots of times that we have run out of space, and we've run out of material, but space more than anything. God's been good to us financially. I mean, if you want to donate $2 or $3 million today, we'll take it because we want to build. But he's been good to us, and we take what we have, and God used it to do some really unusual things, and he pushes us. Watch, this is what I love. Because we didn't have what we need, he pushed us out of a box that we had built for ourselves. This is what church was supposed to look like. And because we didn't have what we always needed, it pushed us out and caused us to do things differently, and we're thankful for it. I think about the little boy whenever all he had was his little lunch and you had all these people to feed. The people didn't have what they needed, and so God pushed them out of a box and said, here's something new. Here's a way I will provide for you. It's not the way that you would normally be provided for, but this is a way that you'll be provided for. And so faith moves us, but it also gives us assurance. Now, an assurance that is mixed with doubt. Anybody who says that faith, there's not a lot of doubt in there, and I know right here it says being sure of what we hope for. You look, anybody, because of our flesh, we do this. Like, we want to believe, but then somewhere in our mind we think, I don't know if this is going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's the thing that's bigger than you. And because it's bigger than you, if God doesn't show up, you know it fails. And I think that's where the doubt comes in. It's not so much you doubt God, but you doubt yourself because you know you're not big enough to do what God's called you to do. And we all need to be in that place. So yeah, we have this assurance. I'm going to tell you that when we first started, the first time we met in the carport. That was those first pictures, and there we were, and we had like, I want to say it was 40 to 50 people. Maybe it's 30 to 50. Let's just be safe, okay? And so we had those, and on the way home, I looked to the list and said, well, that's it. They're not coming back because you had to bring your own chair. The first few services, we didn't have any music. It was just me in a carport with a Bible. Like, nobody's coming. And then people came back the next week. They put up with the craziness and they brought their own chair. Y'all remember when we have to bring, who brought your own chair to church back in the day? Let's see. I know there's a few. Okay, I see those hands. Okay, yes, in the back. Boy, you always sit in the back. You've always sat in the back. Anyway, so you brought your own chairs. Isn't that something? And at the end of the second, when I looked at Alyssa, I remember, and she said, yeah, that's probably the last time they're coming. That encouraging. And I was like, you're right. That's the last time they're not coming back. And people just kept coming. Why? Because they had an assurance of something that was hoped for, something they couldn't see, because none of us saw this. Nobody saw this. And along that process, along that way, as we moved to Mason Park, because we had to meet somewhere, but we couldn't take, you can't take up money unless you're a church. Government frowns on that, by the way. So we couldn't take up money, so we had to become a church before we could take up money. And then you had to be incorporated, and you had to wait for the incorporation, which was only supposed to take, you know, a few days, but then it took several weeks. And so we were trying to find somewhere that was free. The only place we could find was Mason Park, the pavilion. You know the one you have parties at, or they used to. I think they tore that down now, hadn't they? Anyway, so it's there. I wish I could have got a piece. But anyway, so it was there, and we started meeting there, and it was in October, end of October, and we woke up one Sunday morning, and it was brutally cold. And I walked outside. I said, this is the end of it. It's finished. We're done. Nobody's going to fight this. Because you know what my experience was? My experience was if it rained a little bit, people stayed home. That's what I grew up with. If it rained a little bit, people stayed home. And it was brutally cold. You're going to have to bring your own chair. There was not going to be any heat. We were going to be cold under the pavilion for like an hour or more. And people showed up. Now, they had blankets. And they were all snuggled up like they were going to a soccer game. If you've ever been to a soccer game, you know what I'm talking about. They all snuggled up like a bunch of caterpillars watching the church. All they see is their face, all wrapped. Even the men were all wrapped up. There wasn't anybody trying to act tough. It was that cold. We even talked about buying some of those little heaters you could put out, but we didn't have money to do that. So, and people just kept coming because they had a faith for something they couldn't see. So they want to be a part of something that was bigger than they are. Then we got to move to the Cameron Center downtown. Y'all know the Cameron Center, where anybody ever swim in the Daphne pool back in the day? Let's see those hands. I did. Yeah. Okay. If you didn't, wasn't it fun walking underneath it with it dripping and all? You have to walk anyway. So, but where that used to be, so that's where we met in the Cameron Center there, because we were able to take up some money and we're able to pay rent there. And old Ricky Sharp back in the back, wave at him, Ricky Sharp. Wait, that's not a good wave. Wave, Ricky Sharp. Get the hand. There you go. Thanks, Stephanie. He drove a trailer every Sunday, and then we started doing a Wednesday night service there. So every Wednesday with all the equipment. So we had a church and a trailer. So we had, and if you walk outside, it kind of looked like that. We had those speakers, and let me tell you, the Cameron Center was built for sound, wasn't it, Brian? Man, there was so much echo in there. And sometimes the heat would work, sometimes the air would work, and sometimes none of it would work. And sometimes we would show up, and they would have had a party there the night before, and no kidding, I'm not lying to you, there would be puke all in the middle of the court everywhere because they'd had the party, and it's true. And so the first thing everybody did before church was we spent several hours really cleaning up puke, cleaning up mess, cleaning up the pile of beer bottles outside because they were out there. And so we would clean those up. I would sometimes go out there, and I'd be cleaning those things up, and I'd smell like beer all day. Man, that's good for visitors, because you're just telling them, hey, we just cleaned up beer bottles out here. I mean, I wasn't an all-nighter. And so anyway, but we're cleaning them up, and they're like, yeah, right. But anyway, so it really helped. It was okay, though, because, you know, those stuffy people, we didn't want anyway. Anyway, so not really. We want everybody, but especially at that time, we just wanted people to come, and God was doing a work. And when I went back, I have a whole, I'm going to have to send it to y'all guys, anybody that wants it. But anyway, it's a whole, like the whole service is recorded. We put it on a stand, and man, you can't understand hardly anything. It sounded like there's just so much echo. But people just kept coming. Why? Because they were sure of something that they hoped for, something that wasn't seen. They knew that God was going to work. They just didn't know how. We had children, like we had the nursery and preschool in the racquetball courts. Have you ever been in the racquetball courts there? If you hadn't, everything echoes. Imagine preschoolers and babies in the racquetball courts. We bought some old carpet. We burned it when we came here because we would take that carpet and we'd roll it in there, try to help with the sound. It didn't help a whole lot, but and we had people that would volunteer for the nursery and the preschool because they had faith. They were sure of something they couldn't see, and so they would miss out on the service because they knew if they watched the babies and if they watched the preschool, that would give somebody an opportunity to hear the gospel. Somebody that maybe was having problems in their marriage, they could hear the message, and now all of a sudden, they didn't have to worry about their child. They could pay attention to what was being said in the Word of God, and God was putting marriages back together. Or maybe somebody was dealing with depression, and they weren't distracted by their preschooler, and they could hear a message of the hope of the gospel, and God starts to chase that depression away. And so all these things were happening there at the Cameron Center, setting up every day. Watch this. Watch. This is what we did every Sunday. Don't worry. It's fast, okay? We did a little time lapse on it. So here it is. Who remembers this? Every Sunday. Chairs. We set up a lot of chairs. We had, there they are. Look, and we had to buy another, we were going to buy some new, those metal chairs, but somebody donated some chairs, so we didn't have to. Every Sunday. Watch the curtain go up. That's where the curtain, we had to do the curtain to help with sound. There it is. Man, we hear that curtain everywhere. Band's trying to get it so it's not so echoey while everybody's setting up, cords going everywhere. And that's after we cleaned up every Sunday. But people had faith. They could see something that wasn't there, something that was bigger than they were. We bought land. We didn't think we could buy land. We started looking for land. We were brand new. We're like 2 years old. The bank said, yeah, we'll give you $80,000. We said, we need 15 acres of land. We want to be somewhere in town. Good luck with that, right? And so we're praying about it. We're looking about it. And God put a sign right up here. It was 21 acres. 21 acres. We're like $80,000, 21 acres right here close to town. There's no way that's going to happen. Let's go and see. They wanted like 140 or 150, I can't remember. The bank said they'd give us 80. So we went and said, we'll give you 80. Everybody said, they're going to be insulted. I said, we said, insulted or not, that's all we got. So we made the offer, and they said, well, we put a road in. It cost us $7,500. We'll sell it to you for $87,500. And we said, deal. And then God, through different things, how he worked in different people's lives, paid the land off in less than 3 months. Yes, sir. Huge. Which then gave us the collateral to borrow the $300,000. That seems ridiculous. To build what we have now. $300,000 to build what we have now. Which meant that we all had to get together and we had to work almost every Saturday. And those Saturdays were long and they were hard. And here's the thing, though. We never argued. I love this part of it. You know, a lot of churches, they argue and they fuss and they fight over what's going to be built. We never had a plan. We said, this is the size of the building that we have. Here are the things that we need. We showed up one Saturday, and we just started putting up walls. That's exactly how it happened. No lie, okay? That's exactly what happened. We just started putting up the walls, and we never argued. We never fought. We just did what had to be done. And you know what's amazing? I don't know if you ever know that. This is just a metal building. Just a metal building. It's a gym. I don't know if you've ever noticed how good it sounds in here. It shouldn't sound this good. In fact, we were worried about how it was going to sound. It should not sound like it does, but God, in the process of our ignorance, put different things in this building that we're really still not sure about to make it so it sounds incredible. The small thing. And so those were good. So now look, then COVID hit. Y'all remember COVID? Thing that you don't think about or remember about COVID is we got into this building in September 6 years ago. But if we wouldn't have been in this building, the Cameron Center shut everything down for over a year and said within, I think it was 5 months or 6 months. So 6 months, nobody could meet, and then after 6 months, you couldn't have a meeting of larger than 10 people. What would we have done? God put us in the building at the exact right time. At the exact right time. And, you know, because you remember driving? Who showed up to drive-in church? Yeah, those were good. That's the hardest preaching I ever did, isn't it, Gene? You preached in drive-in church. It's hard because you can't see anybody. You can't hear anybody. You're just preaching to a bunch of cars, and the sun's on the windshield. You don't know if they're paying attention. Some of you loved it because you came in your pajamas, didn't you, Kelly? In your pajamas. And you came with your cinnamon rolls, and you came, and there you are. I finally got, I think it was the second Sunday, I finally got to the place where I started saying, at least honk if you agree. Honk if you agree. And so we did, and we only did that for a few weeks, and then we started meeting again pretty quick after that. I think we were one of the first church, us in Salem Heights, I think, started meeting at the same time. We were one of the first churches to start meeting in person again because we had faith that God would take care of us, and he did. And it was a great time of growth for us. And we were right where he needed us to be. But here's the one thing that we did. We went to two services at COVID so that we could socially distance from each other. Okay, we were trying to, we didn't require masks. We didn't require anything like that. But I still shook hands at the door. I got a good retirement plan. I got a good retirement plan. Okay. But we wanted socially distance. And then all of a sudden, we grew too big for us to go back to one service. And here's the thing. I told Brian, I said, Brian, talk with your guys. Talk with the people who lead. We're going to two services. That's a long day. If we have to figure something out, we can. And all of them came to Brian and said, we're in it for the long haul. We'll be here. We even talked about Brian just doing an acoustic one service and then the other service, the full band and alternating. But they said, we're going to be here. Why would people do that? Why would somebody come up? Because on a Sunday, the band is usually here between 7:30 and 8. Okay? So you're here at 8. So that's 8 to 9, 10, 11. We usually get out of here about 12:30. So you're looking about 4 to 5 hours every Sunday. Why would people do that? Because they see, they are sure of a hope of something they can't see. They believe that worship of the one true God will lead people to a place of surrender, to a place where they want to long for the King of Kings. It makes no sense for people to give up time like that unless they're doing it for something that's bigger than they are. So we outgrew the building. We should have built bigger. We had 300,000. This is what we built. And now we've outgrown it. And we're paying this building off soon. Have y'all seen how much been given, how much God's leading us and providing for us every month? Paying, we're talking some months like $18,000 extra on top of our note. I think one month was 20-something thousand. On your way out, check out the board. That's incredible. That blows my mind. And so as soon as we get it built off, paid off, and then we can really start looking to build. And in the process of that, he gave us a building on top of the hill that's going to be ready in December that we paid cash for on 16th Avenue that we didn't even know. We didn't think it connected to our land to put a road on. But then when they come and surveyed, it gave us just enough, coincidentally, just enough to have a road from our new building to this building. I don't know about you, but God's in the details. So we're going to be able to do that. And also, here's some of the things that God allows us to do. Something that when we first started, we couldn't see. We've been able to team up with other churches. Every year, we get with Alpha and Omega Church, Brother Carlos, and we're able to take toys. And when I say toys, I mean, if you've never seen it, that the welcome area out here, if you're old school, the vestibule, I never understand why we call it the vestibule, but whatever that room is out there, full wrapped toys, people going into neighborhoods, handing out toys so that we can grow and have more numbers, but so that another church, a sister church, can minister and reach out to a community so that they can grow. That's huge. So we're doing that in the last few years. We've been able to go on mission trips. That's something we wanted to do from the beginning. But now, look, we've been to the DR. We've been to Mexico. We've been to Belize. We've been to South Carolina. And even right now, we're in the process of building a home for a family that we're just going to give it to them. That's crazy. Their house was destroyed in the tornado. We found out later that their house, a few years before that, it burned down. Not just a few, but several years before that, it burned down. The way that we found that out, because when we started to auger the holes to put the post down, we ran into boards, and we even had a flip-flop come up, and we're like, what is all this? Somebody buried here? We didn't know. But it's where they pushed the old house down, and they covered it. So they lost a house to a fire, and then they lost their house to a tornado. No real insurance, just a little bit, but really no insurance, because the month to month, I don't know if anybody's ever been there, month to month. And as a church, we're going to come together and give them some keys in a few months. That's big. And it's not just in what God has done, it's what he's going to do. I said this from the beginning. I really believe that we are laying the foundation for the next generation. That the next generation is going to do something that's greater than what we've seen. Because like it or not, a lot of us, all of us, and I include me, we're all church washed. Like, we have these traditions and these thoughts in our minds that really aren't rooted in the Scripture. We just do it because that's what we've always done. Yes? And we're blind to it. But the next generation, as they see God move and they see people have faith and they live in their faith out, that next generation is going to say, faith is something, being sure of something I can't see. And it causes me to do something. I'm going to do some incredible things, different things. And they're going to step off into some Red Seas. And they're going to step off into confronting the prophets of Baal. And they're going to step off into meeting a woman at the well. They're going to do things that are greater. In fact, we are already praying right now. Look, I'm not planning on going anywhere for a long time. I'm a young man of almost 50. Why are y'all laughing? Y'all did notice. Now, Jeff did have not quite as many gray hairs back then, but if you noticed me, I didn't have any gray hairs when we started. And Brian said, you must have used Just for Men back then. No, I just wasn't old, okay? And so I'm almost 50, but here's what I do know, okay? Here's what I know. And I'll be done. Is that I'm hoping I can be the pastor and for the next 15 or 16 years. I know that seems like a long time, but 10 years ago, because I'll be 60-something years old, 65. Now, I don't want to leave. I just want to transition and be the senior adult pastor. You know, go on the trips. Those are fun trips with seniors. If you've never been on a senior adult trip, that's a fun trip. They have all the things. Look, if you ever been on a senior adult trip and you say you have a headache, man, they pull out all kinds of pills. What you need? You need Tylenol? What you want? It's like going with a bunch of drug dealers. And old people say whatever they want to say whenever they want to say it, and they say it as loud as they want to say it. So I'm ready for that. But even right now, we're praying. And I'm going to talk about this more in May when I turn 50. Can you believe that? 50. We're going to talk more about it. But we're praying for our next pastor, and we're praying that he comes from right here. That he's grown up right here. That we know him. He's in the preschool, or the children, or the youth department. Wouldn't that be something? It's one of your kids or one of your grandkids. And that he's going to take it and run and do things that are bigger. And his vision is larger. Because there's one thing that, and look, sometimes I say stuff and I don't even know where it comes from. It has to be from the Lord because I'm not that smart. But when we were looking to start the church, and really I'm done, Jeff, if you want to come on, is that when we started, one of the biggest things that my wife worried about, in fact, this was one of the biggest things Nikki worried about when we met with them, is what about our kids? What's going to happen with our children? And it's probably for every mom, that's the first question. And so one night, me and Alyssa, we were talking about this, and what about our kids? They're not going to have anything. They're not going to have a youth department. They're not going to have youth camp. They're not going to be able to do things with the kids. They're not going to do all those. What about those things? And again, not me, but God just laid it on my heart, and I just asked her, I said, is it more important that we talk about our faith to our children, or is it more important that we show them what faith is? And with that, it was one of those things that excuse is gone, because what we've done, and when I say we, all of us, what we've done over the last 10 years is we've shown our children what faith is by setting up chairs week after week after week, by showing up on, some of you now, showing up on Saturday to clean. There's no reason, like, that's extra, and it doesn't get there. You don't get any appreciation for it. People don't know that you're doing it, but it takes faith to come every week to clean up, and it takes faith to show up to welcome people as they walk in the door and to set out snacks and water and orange juice, and it takes faith to teach a class week after week, and it takes faith to show up to the nursery where kids are crying and you feel like you're missing out on things. It takes faith to be in the preschool department. It takes faith to work with teenagers, for sure, doesn't it, Brandon? And it takes faith as we watch people that come in that have a messy life, Here's one of the things that I love, and that no matter how messy you are, you're welcome here. Man, I'm so thankful for that. And God's not done. 10 years from now, I may not be here, but God's not done. This church will still be here. God will still be working. Somebody else will be standing here. And then that person is going to talk about how you had faith 10 years ago to do what's happening now. Your faith right now, where you are, your faith, 10 years from now, you're going to look back and you say, man, look at where God's brought us. And you get to be a part of that. Something so much bigger. Here's how we're going to end as Jeff plays. And man, I really do appreciate your worship today, man. And I'm going to ask that you would do this, that you would come and pray for us as a church. Pray that the next 10 years will be greater than the last 10 years. And that God would reach more people in the baptisms that we saw. And that wasn't all the baptisms. I mean, baptism. The pictures I went through were baptism after baptism after. God is so good. But that you would pray that God would use this church to save people, to save marriages, to fix people in the sense spiritually fix them where there's hurt and damage and give them healing. And I'm also going to ask that you would, just because he mentioned it, just if you feel like it, come and pray for the Applin family and continue just to lift them up. They have a pain that Lord, thank you for hope. Hope that we can't see sometimes. Hope in celebration, but also a hope in hurt. Lord, I pray that you would call people to your altar today. Call people to pray. Church, you stand and you do as the Holy Spirit leads you.